Let's pray. God, we just want to say that we love your presence. We love where you are. And Jesus, thank you that you pray to the Father, that the Father would bring us to where you are. And I pray this morning that we will truly have an encounter with you. Lord, we're not talking about a goosebump or just a physical experience, but I pray, God, that body, soul, and spirit will encounter you this morning. I pray, God, that your word will find receptive hearts, hearts that are eager to receive the implanted word with meekness, for it has the ability to save us. I pray, God, this morning as we stare intently into your word, that your word will be like a mirror where we see you and we see ourselves, and that we would today be in some shape or form be transfigured or changed from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, as we behold you, Jesus, the living word. So come, Holy Spirit, enlighten our eyes, flood the eyes of our understanding with light, that we might truly see what you want to say this morning. We thank you for your presence that you're already, God. We thank you for that. Now manifest it even more, God. Manifest it even more. That we will behold you. Behold you. Not just glance at you, but that we will behold you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to, whoever you were not here last week, it's not roll call, you don't have to feel guilty. I just want to encourage you. Neil's really preached a great word on God's will and how Jesus demonstrated that it was not about his will, but about the will of the Father, and that Jesus came to live out and to fulfill and obey the will of the Father. And so I want to connect to this, and it's also connected to what the Lord has been speaking to us about a year or a season. I don't know that it's just going to be a year, but it's definitely going to be a season where the Lord's speaking to us about being sent ones. And I know you're going to hear it a lot, but that's good. Repetition is still the best way of learning and remembering. And this morning I want to start with a word that it's not a common word. The word, and I want to ask you, when this week did you use the word behold? Behold. Beautiful. It's not for many of you don't speak that much English, but when you do speak English, behold is not a common English word. It's a word that we find in the Bible, especially some translations. Some translations don't have it in anymore. And we're going to say something about that this morning. But it is a word that is not in common use. And because it's not in common use, whenever we read about it or whenever we hear about it, we sort of skip over it because it doesn't feel like it has relevance. So I don't walk out in the street and say, behold, a beautiful day. Or behold, my wife, you look splendid this morning. That would be the kind of language in the context which it was used. And it's interesting that it in the Bible, and I'm going to give you some of the translations, and please, this is not a teaching on which translation of the Bible is the best. Okay? The King James Version, this word behold is used about 1,300 times. 1,300 times the word behold is used in the King James. The Amplified Bible, ESV, uses about 1,100 times. The Amplified Bible, just over 1,000 times. The New International Version, 2 times. Yes, what? It depends. If you read some of the older New International versions, it'll be about 6 times. But here is a word that we don't use. It's in our Bibles. It's well described. In the Afrikaans, it's usually cake. Luister. But it doesn't, and I'm going to get into this word, behold, not from an English point of view, but from a biblical point of view, from a Hebrew point of view, and a Greek point of view. What does this word, behold, mean? Because this is an instrument that the writers used if they want to draw attention to something. If they want to draw attention to what comes after behold, they would say behold, and it would be look, pay attention. This is very important. You've got to understand this. You've got to look into this. Don't glance over this. This is very important. But we read it like in the Psalms, read, behold how good and how pleasant it is, and it's behold, but it's like whatever. And we concentrate immediately on the unity, on the blessing, on the life forevermore. But here is a word, behold, and where did I get this word, behold? It was we were on holiday in Jeffreys Bay for a couple of days, and I was just asking the Lord, I was just meditating on what the Lord has been doing in our midst as a church on sent ones, and just meditating on some of the sermons, and just went over some of the notes of what has been preached. No, I'm not a geek. I'm a Christian. It's really good to do that. We are told to meditate on the Word. I'm not a Bible geek. I'm just a normal Christian. And as I was meditating on this stuff, and here am I, Lord, send me. And the next moment I heard the word, behold. Behold. So immediately it caught my attention, and I started, where in the Bible is behold? And there were too many places. There were, when I typed in on my phone or my concordance, behold, it came up in the ESV 1,066 times. And I reckon, you know, when a writer and a variety of writers over so many years in so many books uses a common word, you think that might be a very important word. Behold is a very, very important word. And I hope I can get through all that today. No, I'm not, don't worry, I'm not going to read 1,066 verses. Okay. Now, when we look at the word behold, as I said, the writers use this as an instrument when they want to draw attention to what is being written. Now, you might sit here this morning and say, well, isn't everything in the Bible important? Why didn't they just say in the beginning of each book, behold, and then you got to behold everything? But the writers were very specific in the use of this word, that when they wanted to emphasize something, when they want you to pay attention to something, when they wanted you to selah or pause, meditate upon this, they would put in this word, behold. Now, I know that we live in a society that is becoming increasingly attention deficit challenged. I mean, and many people think, you know, this is a medical condition, and I do believe that it might be a medical condition, but I think the medical condition came through a spiritual reconditioning by the world. They teach us to not pay attention. Who of you, when you watch the news, see that there's a newscaster that is busy telling you what the news is, and then there's a little reel that runs at the bottom? And who of you read more the reel than listen to the newscaster? And you flick between the two. When as soon as you don't, as you lose interest in what the news guy is saying, immediately you go to the subscript and you start reading there. So the media and the world is teaching us to divide our attention. We have Facebook. Who of you use Facebook? Oh, you don't have to put up your hands. Everybody uses Facebook except a couple. What do we do on Facebook? We scroll. We scroll very fast and we glance. We don't read. Not interested. Not interesting. Whoa, wait. Here's something interesting. Too many words. I don't like reading. Give me pictures. Let's go to Instagram. That's what the world does to us. You see, in Romans 12, when Paul speaks about the spirit of this age, he says, "Do not." The J.B. Phillips translation of the Bible says, "Do not allow the world to pour you into its mold." We need to understand that the world, there is a world view that you are being influenced by. Now, you might not like it, but you are being influenced by everything. You are being influenced by newspapers. You are being influenced by your cell phones. You are being influenced by social media. You are being influenced by people around you. The world wants you to think and operate in a certain way. And that worldview is unfortunately not biblical at the moment. And it gives us, we are most probably the generation with a vast amount of information at our disposal, but we are not a very informed or enlightened generation. We can, you know, we don't even have to ask. We don't even have to think about stuff anymore because we have Google. In what movie? Who plays in that movie? We don't employ our brains. We don't use the faculties that God has given us. And the world is slowly but surely pouring us into its mold. And that's why Paul says that our lives will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So if we start thinking different, we should start doing different. So what the world wants you to do is not to think. The world says you have a phone, you don't have to think. The world says you don't have to know anything because you have Google. You don't have to study anything, you don't have to pay attention, you don't even have to take notes in church because you've got the world of teachers at your disposal on Monday morning on YouTube. So we are becoming this generation that do not behold, that do not take time to gaze upon. Most of what these words mean in Greek and in Hebrew, it says that to look at, to gaze upon, to study intently, to meditate. Not in the Eastern way, but to take the Word of God and to meditate upon the Word of God. And there is something about this beholding. There is something that this beholding, that when we behold and we see the beauty of God, we just don't glance at God, but we stare at God. We stare at God's Word. We take time to meditate, to selah, to pause. Who of you know that the world doesn't want you to pause? It wants you to rush. So they give us devices that tell us it will save us time. And what does it do? It just rushes us faster and faster and faster. And we're like lemmings off the cliff. We don't even think about it. We just rush along because everybody does it. So the whole process of the word repentance, even if you look at a word like repentance, the word repentance means to change your mind. In other words, you must think, you must look at the word, you must think, you must look at yourself whether this is in alignment with the word of God. If it's not in alignment with the word of God, then I've got to say, okay, God, I'm going to change the way that I think. I'm going to change the way that I perceive life. I'm going to change the way that I perceive how I should live my life. And then there is a process of renewing your mind. Day by day, we are being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And there is a thing that we need to think. We need to be able to meditate so that we can make the changes. But the world doesn't allow us. Or we fall in with the things of the world. We don't make time to behold. Please don't tell me, but I want to ask you. You don't have to put your hand up, but I do want you to be very honest with yourself. Who of you spend more than 30 minutes a day in prayer? Who of you spend more than 30 minutes reading your Bible every day? You don't have to tell me, but I do want you to be honest with yourself. And this is, it's not, you're not being evil. It's just the spirit of this world that got hold of us. So we don't have time. We're always rushed. We never have time. Our programs are becoming fuller and fuller and fuller, and we feel like we are the victims of our programs. We're not. You have a mind. It is yours. You have the mind of Christ. Unless you are possessed by a demon, you have control over your mind. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Every decision that you make, whether it's from peer pressure or work pressure or an idea that you have, my friend, my beloved brother and sister, you are making that decision. You can't blame anyone else for it. You are making that decision. And the more we don't do this according to the Word of God, unless we start or we get back to this place that we learn to behold again, we will just become quicker and quicker and shallower until we are just like the world with a Sunday meeting. That's why the writers in the Bible continuously, 1,300 times, use words that call our attention. Call for our attention. There is a call in the Spirit for our attention. For our attending to the Word of God. There is a call in the Spirit for us to behold. 1,300 times, the Bible writers calls us, come on. Wait, wait. What follows now, you really have to pay attention to. Revelations 3 verse 20, the well-known scripture, Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. That's our most translation. Or see, I stand at the door. That is the word behold. It means think about this. Pay attention. Pay attention that Jesus is standing at the door. Pay attention how you should respond to that. Pay attention what will happen. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice. So we need to pay attention. Am I hearing the voice of Jesus? Am I hearing the voice of God? If you're not hearing the voice of God, if you can't, if you don't have the ability or lack the ability to hear the voice of God, then you're going to struggle to know what God wants you to do. Then you're going to struggle with obedience because you're not going to know what you should be obeying. So when the Bible writers, when John the Revelator, when he writes, behold, it's not an old English, the word there is a Greek word that it paints the picture of when you're watching a movie or a play. Especially, okay, when you go into the movies, what irritates you? People asking one another, hey, what happened? What's going on? Or people explaining the movie to other people that's trying to watch the movie. The thing about movie theaters are they are quiet, relatively, until there's something funny happening. But they're relatively quiet, except the person next to you that in their popcorn and, you know. But people pay attention. And people say, oh, but Jan, you know, we can't go on too long because a modern man can't concentrate for more than 40 minutes. So when you teach no more than 30 minutes, how come Hollywood is making 3-hour movies and people are sitting through it? How come? How come? They grab our attention for 3 hours. We're willing and then we can't wait for the next installment. You know, we can't wait for the prequel or the sequel. You can't wait. They grab our attention. When you're in a theater, when you listen to a symphony orchestra, it's usually the thing to keep quiet and enjoy and listen and pay attention. It's the same kind of thing that the Bible writer, when John the Revelator, when he uses that word, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He says, pay attention. Give undivided attention to the knocking of Jesus. Because Jesus is still knocking at the door of the church. Okay. Whew, I wonder if I should. Yeah, I'm going to say that. It's a wonderful scripture, but it's not about salvation. Jesus, if you read the scripture says, where is Jesus knocking? At the door of the church. It's believers. There are many other beautiful scriptures to describe salvation, but that's not one of them. Okay, so Jesus is standing at the door of the church, one of the churches. He's standing and knocking at the door of the churches and says he wants to come in. And so if we don't pay attention, we won't hear the knocking. If we don't pay attention, we won't hear the voice. If we don't hear the voice, we won't hear the command. If we don't have the command, how will we know what to obey? So God wants us to behold. And you might say, Jan, what has this got to do with sent one? This has got everything to do with the sent one. Because the word says, how will they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear if there's not a preacher? And how will there be a preacher if they don't have a message? And how will they have a message if they are not sent? So for us to send, to live as sent ones, we need to have a message. We need to have a now message from God. We need to, and I'm not talking about the general message and the general message of the gospel. I'm talking about specifics. God wants to send you to your workplace to specific people with a message. But how will we have the message if we have not spent time with God, if we have not heard the knocking of God at our door for that brother, for that sister that's not saved, for that co-worker that really needs Jesus, for that school friend that needs healing? How will we hear if we do not behold? If we are not caught up in the noise of life, if we are so caught up in the busyness of life that we don't have time to get our marching orders from God. Now, in Hebrew, there are a couple of words that they use, but I'm going to focus just on three, and they are variants of one another. And it's basically hen, hine, and hinene. And Katya, please, if I take me aside and give me a Hebrew pronunciation lesson afterwards. Hen is basically it's where they say in Matthew 28, 18, when it's Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me, therefore go to all the nations, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe or obey everything that I've taught, that I've commanded you. And lo and behold, that lo is the word hen. It's a word if you want to grab someone's attention. If you want to say, hey, you know, when a teacher is trying to teach and the class is going haywire and the teacher goes, hey, attention, pay attention. That's like hen. That's the word. Pay attention. Then there's another word that is hine. And that means to look, to stare, to look intently at. It means that you are aware. It conveys the idea that I am present. And then there's the word hinene, which I actually want to get to, because it's actually, hinene means, has the meaning that I am not only saying that I'm present, but I am saying actually, here I am. It's actually what the word means. Hinene, it describes three English words. Here am I. Does that sound familiar? Isaiah chapter 6. Here is the prophet standing before the Lord. He's been woeing everyone. He's been prophesying. All of a sudden, he's in the presence of God. And you're in the presence of God. The Lord cleanses his lips. The Lord says, who will I send? Who will go for us? And the prophets say, here I am. Send me. And that here I am, send me, is the word hinene. So when God speaks to us through his word, or when God draws our attention, God actually is asking us, can I get your attention? And there needs to be a response to that. Because God is continuously, I believe, a lot of people say, you know, God doesn't speak much. I think God speaks all the time. I just think that we're not very good listeners. I think that we don't pay attention. I want to say, as soon as I pay attention to the word, as soon as I meditate upon the word, as soon as I place my focus upon the word, as soon as I shut out the things of the world, the distractions of the world, as soon as I shut that out, God speaks. I'm able to hear. But we live in a time that our lives are so filled with noise. And we think all the noise is important. We think that the sounds that surround our lives are very important. I want to say to you, they might be important, but they pale into insignificance compared to what God is speaking. You know, we do quote Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness. So here am I, in a biblical sense, it's not a declaration of geographics. Where are you? Here am I. It doesn't say Jan is standing in the front of a church, of a school hall. That's not what it means. When God spoke to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve messed up, and God asked, Adam, where are you? Adam did not respond by saying, here I am. He did not respond by saying the Hebrew word, hinene. He did not say that. He started excusing himself immediately. When Cain killed Abel, when God says to Cain, hey, where's your brother Abel? He doesn't say, here I am. He doesn't declare that. He starts complaining. He says, well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? When God speaks later to Noah, he says to Noah, he says, behold, Noah, hine, pay attention. I'm going to destroy the earth. I want you to build an ark. Just imagine. Noah did not behold. Just imagine Noah thought it was interesting information. Just imagine. But he had to behold and he had to pay attention to what God was speaking, because God was laying out how big the ark, what are the dimensions of the ark. So hine, beholding is not just sitting and listening to a little talk. This is not just listening to someone preaching a sermon. This is actually listening with the intention to obey. So as you are sitting here, I believe what should start happening is you should start thinking, okay, what are the noise in my life? What causes me not to behold God? What causes me not to say, here I am? What are the distractions in my life? How big thing? Yeah, how can I spend more time with God? Maybe you answered a little low on that prayer and time in the Bible. Are you thinking, where can I get some of the time? Because I've got so little time. If you need tips, I can give you tips. Just take one day a week, the time that you spent on Facebook and social media, and spend it with God. Put down your phone. Put it in another room. Don't look for scriptures on your phone. Because soon what will happen, you look for a scripture on your phone and then you find, oh, this is an interesting article. And then 5 minutes later, you're busy with 5 YouTube clips about 5 guys on the corners of the earth that has an opinion on what stands in the Bible. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Then God comes to Abram. God comes to Abram and he says to Abram, Abram, where are you? And for the first time, the word hinene, here I am. Here I am. Carrying the meaning of not, this is my geographical position, but what Abram was saying, God, here I am. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm ready to do. Whatever you want me to do, I will obey you, God. He said that before. He said that before God gave him the command to sacrifice Isaac. It wasn't like, hey, Abram, I want you to sacrifice your son. What do you say about that? Here am I, God. No, before God gave him any commandment, God just said, Abram, and he said, here I am. I'm present in this moment. I'm present body, soul, and spirit, and I'm ready to obey you. It is the same word, hinene. It's the same word that the prophet Isaiah uses when God says, who will I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here I am, hinene. I am present, body, soul, and spirit in this moment. I am ready to do your will, God. I'm ready to do what you want me to do, God. Not my will, but your will be done. So it's not just a question of availability. It's not just a question of I've got a couple of minutes or a couple of hours or a couple of days in my year to do work of ministry. It is a life's attitude that says whenever God calls, I say, God, here am I. I'm present in the moment in body, in soul, and in spirit. And I am ready, God, to obey you. It doesn't matter what you say. Abram said, here am I. Hinene, I'm ready, God. I'm ready to obey whatever you tell me to do, God. God said, okay, I want you to take your son, your only son, I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to go and sacrifice him. He goes, just imagine that. He's already sent a son that he loved, Ishmael. I know we don't like Ishmael, but Abram loved him. We don't like Ishmael for what he represents and what he is a picture of and what came out of his loins. But the Bible says that Abram loved him. He loved him. So this was the second son that Abram was about to lose. So he goes up this mountain. God doesn't explain anything to him. He said, here I am. He said, hinene. That's what he said. Here am I, God. God said, okay, this is what I want you to do. He trusted God. He trusted God to the point that he had the knife in the air. And the angel said, the Lord said, Abram. And he said, again, hinene. Here I am. Here am I. Ready to do what you want me to do, God. It's only then that God said, don't touch the boy. You see, sometimes when God calls, we want to say, what's it going to look like? What's it going to cost? And we use the scripture that Jesus said, is there a man that wants to build a tower? He must first build the cost. If he cannot finish it, he will be mocked. And we say, well, we've got to count the cost. Yes, we do. But that cost has already been calculated. Jesus at the cross, at Calvary. Jesus. That cost. Whatever God calls you to, it's in that cost. It's already been. So as long as we're following Jesus, we will be able to meet that cost. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not. But our trust in God, our trust in our everlasting loving Father will be tested when God calls. Will I be able to say, here am I? Will I be able to express in my life and through my life, not with lip service, but truly my whole life. Hinene, here am I. Do whatever you please. Tell me whatever I should do. It doesn't matter what I perceive the cost to be. It doesn't matter what you say after this, God. I'm going to do it. You see, that is beholding. And God would do nothing that He Himself has not done. In Isaiah 65, God speaks about Him giving His all and the people rejecting Him. Let's read that quickly. Isaiah 65. It's the second last book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the messianic book, testifies and prophesies so much about Jesus. 65 verse 1, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, this is God, here I am, here I am. Hineni, hineni. He repeats himself. He says, here I am, here I am. Different translations would have a different, but that is the Hebrew word, hineni, where we get the word behold from. So God is not simply saying, I'm going to be with you. He says, God says, I'm here. I'm invested. I am in your midst. I am in front of you. The one who calls you is in you. And I am here. I am invested, body, soul, and spirit. I am invested with everything I have in this process called covenant, in this process called sanctification, in this process of us becoming like Jesus. God says, here I am. So many times when Jesus asks people, what is it that I can do for you? He's saying, I'm here. I'm here to do. I'm not here to philosophize. I'm here to do. I'm here to obey. Even in trouble time, Jesus comes and he says, and my soul was distressed. And the hour has come. And then he says, shall I now try to get away from this? And he says, no, glorify your name. Glorify your name in me, Father. And then there was a thunderclap. A voice came and says, I've done it before. I will do it again. What it will take for us to truly be sent ones, before we can be sent ones, there's got to be this thing in our heart that screams, hinene. Not just spell it out, Jesus, and if I'm happy with your conditions, then I'll consider it. This is an implicit trust in whatever God tells us to do. This is what Niels has been speaking about last week, about Jesus, about the cup, asking that the cup would be, that would pass him. But not my will be done, but your will be done. We need, if we truly want to be sent ones, we need to be a people that understand beholding. We need to understand what it means to spend time, to stare intently, to gaze, to seek out, to have the word like a mirror, so that we can say to the great I am that is always with us, that said in Isaiah, here I am, to the Hinene, that we can reply and say to our Hinene, to the one that says, here I am, that we can say, here I am. And it's not a cheap little word, it's not a cheap little, oh, here we are, God, we're here for you. But it's truly, I stand here with everything that I have. My body, my soul, and my spirit, God. I behold you. I have beheld you. And therefore, because I have seen you, because I have beheld you in the beauty of your holiness, because I have beheld the beautiful work at the cross of Calvary, because I have beheld the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, because I have beheld the glory of God, because I have beheld the Son of God, because I have beheld the loving Father, because I behold the Holy Spirit, therefore my heart's cry is Hinene. I trust you. I trust you. I believe if we truly want to be. Moses had the same experience. Moses was walking in the desert. It seemed like his life was a failure. He was walking. All of a sudden, he saw something, caught his eye. He saw the burning bush. He stopped. He put his attention on it. And he said, behold, that word again. Not, oh, interesting. He said, behold. Then the Lord, when he turned, God said to Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I, Hinene. God, whatever you want to do after this, I'm going to do it. I'm invested in this moment, in this, my body, my soul, and my spirit, my failures, my successes, my calling, everything. I'm going to say, I am here before you, God, and whatever you tell me next is what I'm going to do. And I believe that we've got to do it once. But I do think that we need to do this continuously. That in every situation, almost every morning, we need to stand before the one that is in our midst, to the one that says, here I am, here am I. We say, Hinene. My life is yours, God. It's truly yours. This is not a game that I'm playing. This is not a religious thing that I'm doing, God. This is not me trying to fulfill some. I have seen you, God. And therefore I say, Hinene. I'm yours. I'm yours. What followed after that was something quite impossible. A father had to go and sacrifice his son. A failure had to go and lead out the people. A stuttering failure had to go and lead out his people. A prophet that said, Hinene, if you read Isaiah 6 a little bit further, God says, I'm going to send you to a stubborn people. I'm going to send you to people that won't listen to you, but I want you to go because my word must be heard. You see, we can only truly be sent once if we can say fully, Hinene, here am I, God, everything. And I don't care what you say after this. If you send me to the outer parts of the earth with my children that still should be still at school, I'm going to do what you want me to do, God. I'm not going to put anything in front of you. I'm not going to put my common sense in front of your wisdom. Here it is, God. Hinene. I'm yours. Completely yours. And we can only say that because He is our Hinene. He said, well, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. Jesus said, when He gave us the great commandment, He said, behold, pay attention. Pay attention. A lot of us pay attention to the making of disciples. A lot of us pay attention to the baptism. We have huge arguments about the baptism. We have great conversations about what discipling should look like, what obedience looks like. But the thing is here, what Jesus says, behold, pay attention. Here's the important thing. Here's the deal breaker. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your I am. I'm going to be your Hinene. Being sent one sounds wonderful, and it is. It's an awesome privilege. I want to tell you, if I truly believe with all of my heart that if we can find the courage by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, can truly stand before God and day after day say, Hinene, here I am. I'm yours. Say what you want me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm here to obey. I'm not here to check you out, God. I'm not here to give you a go, God. I'm here to whatever you tell me after this, I'm going to do. I believe when our Hinene and His Hinene meet, we will see great power and great love released in the earth. So do not be fooled with the cool banners, living as sent ones, and the t-shirts, unless we can say, Hinene, we cannot truly be sent ones. Because if I cannot say truly Hinene, I'm not empty of myself enough. You see, Hinene takes humility. Say, God, it's not what I think I should do. It's not what I think is best. It's what you say is best. And I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you in the things that I understand, and I'm going to trust you even more in the things that I don't understand, because you are my Hinene. And here am I. Here am I. When God finds a people, a man, a woman, a family that says this, Hinene, whatever you say after this, God, it's going to be my message. It's going to be my purpose. It's going to be my plan, your plan, not my will, God, but yours be done. That preparation for Henene does not start in your head with a good idea. It starts in the presence of God. When in the face of the true I am, we see who we truly are, and we allow Him to change us that we can say, Henene. I'm going to close with this. When we consider the preparation and the commitment and the cost and the consequence of saying, God, whatever you say, we're going to do, sometimes we start looking at ourselves, at our own disabilities, our own inabilities, our weaknesses, our strengths, our plans, our ambitions, what we still want to accomplish, what we think is best, what we think should be happening, all of that stuff. You see, when we come to the place like Isaiah, like Moses, like Abraham, and we come to that place that we say to our Henene, Henene, here am I. It's about Him. It's about Him. And whatever the cost, He's worthy. Whatever the cost, He's worthy. Whatever the cost, He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. For from Him are all things, and to Him are all things. He deserves the glory. I wonder this morning, Andre, if you can maybe just play for us. And I don't want you to do this lightly. This is not let's rah-rah and let's get motivated here. Let's get amped for the year. I believe this is a life decision that will cause you. You'll have to change stuff. I wish I could tell you, go on with your life as per normal and, you know, just add these things. It cannot. It dare not. Not because of Him. Because of the fame of His great name. Now, I don't know if you can say Henene this morning. Maybe you're comfortable with where you are. You like your Christianity. You like your relationship with God the way it is now and the way that world evangelism and revival is going. Maybe you're enjoying that at the moment and think that's enough for me. Then I want to urge you, don't say Henene. Don't say it. It's okay. Nobody's forcing anyone. But I do want to ask you that in front of the great Henene, that we will see Him look at us. And without looking too much at ourselves, because of Him, just say, Henene, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Nobody else can in any for you. I can't say, Lord, here's Izel. I can only say, here am I. This is one thing that you can't do for other people. This is a place where you need to be in front of our great Henene that says, here am I, here am I. And can I echo back to Him these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words? Here am I, Lord, my body, my soul, and my spirit. Maybe you've done that. I think it's something that while I was preparing and I realize that my life doesn't always speak of Henene. If you ask me if I love Jesus, if you
if you ask me, you know, will I obey? My immediate Christian reaction would be, of course, of course. But if I stand before, in the moments that I do stand before my Inene, it's easy to say and respond in Inene, but I want to tell you, half of the time I'm so distracted. I'm distracted by the cares of this world. I'm distracted by a lot of stuff. I'm sometimes even distracted by ministry. But when I truly see Him, if God would call your name this morning, would you be able to say, Inene, here am I, God. I know it will involve change, but whatever you want to do, God, I want to do. I'm standing here, face to face with you, my loving Father, my sovereign Lord, my beautiful Savior, in the power of the sweet Holy Spirit. And all I want to do, I don't want to read Facebook, watch Instagram. I want to do whatever you tell me to do. And to that end, I'm going to have these encounters with you daily, God. I want to come daily and I want to hear what you want me to do, God. I want you to tell me what words I should preach, God. I want you to give me prophetic words that will change people's lives, God. What do you want to say? What do you want to do, God? What song do you want me to sing? What can I bring to you, God? I want Him to be my Inene. And I want to be His. Only for a moment, couple of moments, just you and God. Just come before your here am I. Just come before Him. And respond in any way. If you can't say it this morning, don't say it because you think it's expected. But if we want to start living out that sermon that Neil's preached last week, not my will be done, but yours be done. He needs to be your Inene and you need to be His. I need to be His and fully His. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our Inene. You are, you say, here am I, here am I, here am I, here am I. Father, I pray all over this place now that people encounter you. They will not encounter the cost. They will not encounter the problems they foresee. They will not encounter the discouragement and disappointment and the doubt and the confusion, but they will simply encounter you, that you would work in our hearts, God, that we would each and every day be unashamedly stand, throw our hands to you and say, here I am, here I am, Inene, 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 Inene.